Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Good morning again. Would you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Last week was an awesome day in the house of the Lord. And I just want to thank you so much for how you showed up and how God showed out and what I am hopeful for His church on Old River. And so I've got two more shots at you. And I am especially thankful that I get to take a shot at the guy that's running the sound system this morning. However, I'm going to be careful because he is running the sound system. But Brad, he's gone? Where'd he go? He's already out of here? Is he coming back? Are y'all recording this? I bet I got an idea where he had to go. Yeah. Well, you tell him what I said. But Brad Daigle is the owner of MSC Systems. They're the ones that installed our sound system here in the church, and they have been working here all week to be able to get our sound system back in order, and we discovered a number of serious issues that our sound system had, and we hope that we have corrected them, and we need to hear from you, not hate mail, but we did find that we really had a number of serious issues and some things that were not balanced correctly, And so we are working on those things to get them corrected. We had a number of pieces of equipment that were broken or inadequate. And so we had, in some places in our sanctuary here, we had the noise was really loud. Some places it was distorted. Some places the speakers weren't even working. And so you've come in here this morning as our test dummies. No. But you've come in here this morning, and you really didn't know what all had been prepared for you and for this and for our worship services. And I want to share with you that you and I do not have a clue on our own, all the things that God has in store for you. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, time out. The preacher in his old country church called on this old fella to pray. And this old fella stood up, bowed his head, and he said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The preacher raised one eye. Lord, I hate lard. Lord, I don't like flour. And by this time, the preacher is thinking, what have I done? And the man went on to say, and Lord, I'm not fond of heat. And the preacher is wondering, do I need to interrupt him? And then the man went on, the old farmer went on to say, but Lord, when you mix all that together and you put it in an oven, Lord, I love biscuits. Sometimes, because we don't know the end result of something, we get frustrated with things. We get frustrated with change. We get frustrated with what may be going on. But listen to this verse. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What an awesome verse. Listen to this next one. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I want you to think with me this morning about God's plan and your plan, my plan. Now, someone has said, and it's not in Scripture, but there's bound to be a lot of truth to it, that if you want to make God laugh, just call God up and say, God, I want to tell you about my plan. Because if you look at those pictures on the screen, and I don't know how clear they are to you, but you can see that where God's plan is written, it's written over an architectural drawing where everything is uniform and makes sense. And then in the lower corner here, you see the picture, my plan. It resembles some of the plans that you and I drew whenever we were in kindergarten. Well, maybe some of y'all were in kindergarten. They hadn't even invented the word kindergarten whenever I started school. Anyway, or you were in first grade. How many of you remember that? They just started with first grade. Yeah, yeah, okay. Boy, there's a lot of you. You have missed out on a lot in this world. Bless your heart. But anyway, and whenever it comes to my plan for my life, it resembles more of that little scribbling and crayon drawn picture here in the lower corner than whenever I just give my life over to God. So God has a plan. I want you to think with me, first of all, that God's plan is a prepared plan. Prepared plan. Now, There was one time in my life that my dad invited me. He said, Danny, really, he called me Danny Ray. He said, Danny Ray, let's go. And I said, where are we going? And I kind of hesitated and stuff. Next thing I heard was the truck being cranked and Daddy driving off. Daddy wasn't interested in so much and me wanting to go do what he was doing, Daddy was more interested in me wanting to be with him. Now, I want to tell you something. It only took that one time, and from then on, whenever Daddy said, Danny Ray, I was out the door. Because you see, my dad could come up with some of the most interesting plans, but sometimes just being with Daddy and the things that he would do, and the people that he would go see, I'm telling you, I got an education that I didn't get from the first grade all the way through seminary just by riding around with my dad and going and doing the things that Dad had. And I want to tell you something else. There were times that Daddy had already been working on something, and had been putting together for me. And I didn't know what it was, but I want to tell you, whenever I showed up, I was blown away. Daddy said, excuse me, and I was about 14 at the time. And Daddy said, Danny, let's go. I got in the truck. We took off about 30 miles from the house, 25 miles from the house, and we went to this preacher's house that I knew, and he had even filled in some there at our church, and he was a pastor at the church in Douglasville. And I had not surrendered to the ministry at that time, but when we got there, there was this 64 Ford, custom Ford. Now, for some of you, you think custom, and you think of, oh, wow, wow. No, custom back then meant as plain as you could get. And if any of you remember a Galaxy 500 Ford car, a sedan, well, this was a two-door version of it because it was for people that couldn't afford four doors. It was a standard shift on the column. Bless your hearts, there's some of you that are just not, hadn't got a clue what I'm talking about. Just go home and Google it. And it had air conditioning in it. It was a 260 air conditioner. Both windows down, 60 miles an hour. And it had a little old six-cylinder engine in it. And it had been sitting under a walnut tree. And Daddy said, Danny, what do you think? You think you could clean this up? Now, for somebody that didn't have a vehicle at all, I looked at that vehicle, and I couldn't believe that Daddy had been talking to someone and preparing something for me. I want you to know I took that thing home, and I compounded that thing out, and then I polished it, and it would just absolutely put your eyes out in the sun. Went to and bought some new seat covers for it. Pulled those seats out, unbolted them, pulled them out, and put those seat covers on that old custom Ford. And I want you to know, I was just the happiest kid you can imagine. And you're thinking, Brother Dan, you said you were 14. You already had a vehicle. Laws were different back then. And let's just not even go into all that. There were still laws, but I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. I want you to know that God has studied a plan for you. God does not fly by the seat of his pants with his hair on fire and then just come up with a plan as he's going on through the universe. God is not some cosmic entity that's going through the universe making up legends about himself. He is God. And he is the one that put all of this together. He is the one that made everything, and there is not anything that exists that does not exist and was not made through him. He is God, and he has a prepared plan. He has studied it, and he knows exactly what everyone in this room individually, he knows what this church corporately, he knows what his bride, the church, needs, and he has a plan, and he has studied it and thought it out, and it probably didn't take him that long to do it, but he has a plan, and it is a prepared plan, not something that you've just thrown together. It's not something like when I tell Dana I'm fixing supper, she knows is liable to be most of the cans in the pantry that are going to be empty because I'm just going to experiment. And bless her heart, she always just acts like, oh, that was delicious, because she didn't have to fix it, you know. God doesn't do that for you and me. God didn't do something for you and me and prepare something for you and me and try it out and say, I hope they like it. I wonder what they're going to think about it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. I want you to know, God's plan is also a provided plan. Now, it was provided, first of all, in a way that you and I could have never dreamed it up ourselves. It was provided before the foundations of the world. You saw in those verses, starting with verse 7, that God ordained them before the ages and before the ages for our glory. And so he prepared them, and then the Bible teaches us that he has provided them through his Spirit. In verse 10, the Bible tells us, and well, verse 9 tells us, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. You and I cannot begin to come up with what God has on his mind. You and I cannot begin to plan and prepare and think it out all on our own. You and I would have never realized our need for a Savior unless it had been for his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible says in 2 Peter that God would that all men be saved and that they would repent and come to him and be saved. And so had God not planned it and prepared it and given it to us, provided it to us and provided his Spirit to come into this world to come and convict us of sin and reveal to us the things that God has for us. And whenever you realize that the Spirit is dealing with your heart and that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins, whenever you do that, whenever you experience that, then you begin to understand how you want to love God. The Bible says that he is a friend to him who gives gifts. Now, there are people that have given you things in this world, have done things for you, and because of that, it just has kind of endeared you to them. And I mean, it's just hard not to like people that do things for you. And there's nothing wrong with that, because he is a friend to him who gives gifts. There are people that have done things for me that I don't know why in the world they did them, but I want to tell you, I can't help but love them for the way they loved me. But the Bible teaches us that that God's plan is a provided plan. Have you ever had someone say, or have you ever said to someone, I have something for you, and I just haven't given it to you yet? You ever had that happen? Did it stir your curiosity? And after you got over the curiosity, did it begin, whenever it went on and it still didn't happen, did it begin to frustrate you? And then did you begin to think, well, I wonder if they were really telling the truth? Or I wonder if they gave it to someone else? I mean, all kinds of things. The devil comes in there and helps you with your thinking on things like that, doesn't he? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. I want you to notice something. That in this word here, but God has revealed to us. Now that word us there is a word meaning not just the world, but every individual in the world. Do you know that God has a plan that perfectly fits your life for you? And he invites you to get in on it. And God has provided that plan when he provided Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And then whenever the Bible says that Jesus ascended into heaven, the Bible tells us that Jesus told his disciples, it is very important, it is urgent that I go to the Father, that I may give you his Spirit, so that his Spirit, the Comforter, will come to you, the Holy Spirit. Now, we Baptists, we get so scared sometimes talking about the Holy Spirit that we're so afraid we're going to get out on a limb that we don't even climb the tree. And so we just get scared to death sometimes to talk about the Holy Spirit. I mean, somebody says the Holy Spirit, sometimes in a Baptist church, everybody gets scared that somebody's going to raise their hand, my soul. Even though the Bible says, lift up holy hands to you. Now, I need to tell you something. I believe in expressing to the Lord as the Spirit leads you. And God has just never led me. I'm just not a hand raiser, okay? I mean, if you see me raise my hands, probably because I'm volunteering for something or I have a fever. That's just not me, because I'm more of one that is just gonna lift my head and bow my heart. I mean, that's just how it affects me whenever God is moving. But for some of you, it affects you differently. And it's not for us to sit in judgment how the Holy Spirit is moving in everyone's heart. Now, the Bible teaches us also, be sure the Spirit's leading you in whatever you do. I've seen people put on a show in church, and I can't help but wonder, are they doing that because the Spirit's leading them, or they're doing that because they want to be noticed? I've seen people cry, and I thought, are those tears real? Now, you've been there. But I want to tell you something else. I'm not going to sit in a worship service and look over the service and see if I think somebody's tears are real or if their hand waving is genuine. I'm concerned with what the Spirit is saying to me, because the Spirit has a special word to provide from God just for me. If I had been the only sinner in the world and all the rest of you had never sinned one time, Jesus would have died for me. So it's a very personal thing. And it has been provided to us. It's been provided to Tracy, been provided to Gary, been provided to Danny, been provided to Mike, it's been provided to Daniel, it's been provided to every individual. So God's plan is an open invitation to every individual. God has done something personally for you. If you had been the only person in the world that needed this, God would have done it for you. How many times can you look back in your life right now, and it was like the prayer that old farmer prayed, Lord, I hate buttermilk. I hate flour. I hate lard. And I hate heat. Lord, I hate the heat that I'm going through. I hate, Lord, how dusty things have gotten in my life. I hate, Lord, how difficult things have gotten in my life. Lord, I hate this disease that I have. Lord, I hate. It's easy to get distracted by those things. But I want to tell you something. When God is up to something, you can't really listen on your own with these human ears. You can't see it with these human eyes. And you can't feel it with a human heart. You have to experience the witness of the Holy Spirit. And it still may not make sense right then. Because God does not teach us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to understand. He teaches us that we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand, and having done all to stand, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Because whatever you're going through right now, God has not ignored you. But rather, you can't figure out the things that God has prepared and provided for you. I want to talk with you about how preeminent the plan of God is for my life and your life. It is superior to any plan that anyone else, including yourself, including some preacher, can come up for you. You individually or us as a church. It is preeminent. It is superior. It is paramount that you get in on God's plan. Because there is no plan like the plan of God. There is nothing that God, that has been prepared for you and me like God has prepared, like He has prepared for this church. One more thing. It is a preserved plan. Do you have a plan of something that you intended to build? Or is there something that you planned a long time ago? Now you can't even find the plan. You can't remember the details of that plan because maybe you just planned it out in your mind and now the details have faded away. I want to share with you that God not only has a great plan for you and me to get in on right now, that God wants to use us in His great plan, and He wants to use this church in His great plan. But God has a tremendous plan for us that is going to be waiting on us whenever we get to His glory. Do we not remember that the Bible says that Jesus told His disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Have we forgotten that the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." There's a last day coming, and on that last day, for everyone in this room who has your doubts and your disappointments with God and your disbelief about God, for every one of you, there's a day coming. And I want to tell you, as that old song talks about an unclouded day and about a great day, there also says in that song, there's a sad day coming. And for those who are going to reject God's plan and resist God's plan, and say, "I'm smarter than everyone else, and I'm smarter than God, and I just don't believe all of this stuff that I hear about God and how much He loves me." Friends, there's a day coming. The Bible says, "And it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." You and I cannot understand everything about God. We can't begin to understand everything about God. But I want to tell you something. You give God half a chance, and you watch what He does. Set aside. Now, this is not great grammar, but you've heard the old phrase, "You ain't seen nothing yet." And I'm telling you, you look back on the things that God has done in your life, provided for you, gave you people that loved you and introduced you to Christ, and you think about all those things, and you think about you even sitting here in this sermon this morning and why you are here this morning, and you think about all of that and how, did it just happen? Or did God have a plan? And has God prepared this day for you and prepared this day, and prepared you for this day? Think about it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Because you see, what's really sad is that this can be a prevented plan. You can say, "I don't want what God wants." that God wants. I just don't want to get in on it. I just don't want to do that. Oh, my goodness, at what you will miss. Man sitting in this room came up to me a week ago tonight and said, me and Tim we know what we want to give you for a retirement gift. And so yesterday, those two guys took me quail hunting. I didn't know whenever he came up to me what it was that he was wanting to do, but he took me quail hunting. And we didn't have to go very far from here to be able to do that. Now, you got to understand something, that some of you know that I grew up following my dad through the woods of Northeast Texas quail hunting. That's what my dad's favorite sport to do was. And so I haven't been able to do that. Last time I went was about 30 years ago with my dad and my brother. And we went off to Northwest Texas. And we had just one of the greatest times we've ever had in our lives when we went on that hunt. And I haven't been able to do that in 30 years. And we got over there yesterday. And I'm telling you, we had more fun because there were things that we got to do that though I knew we were going quail hunting, I didn't know all the things that we were going to get to do and the great time we were going to have. And it was just awesome watching the dogs work, watching the quail jump up, watching me miss. It was just so awesome. As awesome as that was, what if I had told him, I'm too busy. I don't want y'all to do that for me. Why would I do that? Why wouldn't I make time for a gift like that? God has something so awesome for you. He has a plan prepared for you that is greater than anybody in this room individually or corporately could do for you. The Bible says that God has prepared for those that love Him. Do you love Him? Do you love God? Do you love His Son, Jesus? Are you sure? Could we prove it? Could we prove it? Could anybody prove it? Do you love God? Do you love enough to sacrifice for Him? Do you love enough to give to? Do you tithe? Oh, Brother Danny, there you go. Quit preaching and started meddling. You know what tithing is all about? It's not about how fat we can make the church coffers. I just want to share with you that because I'm part of this church, my membership is in this church. Until God calls me otherwise, my membership's going to be here. Now, we're going to go somewhere else to church. I hope to be preaching, but I'm still going to send my tithe here. Now you don't mind me being a member, do you? Yeah. We are getting to give to the new pastor a church that had its greatest year. Greatest year financially. If not the greatest, one of the greatest years we've ever had baptism-wise and growth-wise. If you were here last Sunday, you know, I got to looking last, when I walked in, I saw this crowd, we had chairs in here, and I thought, well, people heard there's going to be a new preacher, and so they decided to come back to church. And then when I got up here making announcements and such, and was up here at the end, I got to looking around, I thought, wow, these are folks that come. There may have been a few, and it wasn't near everyone. You know why we give? We don't give because God needs our giving. We give for us. We give for us. You need to give for you. Do you love God? Are you here? Do you come? Oh yeah. Oh, I love God, Brother Danny. Where are you sometimes? On the day of worship, on the Lord's day. Where are you? Did you have a better plan than what God planned? For the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. I love to come to church. I tell you, that things that happen right here that just can't happen anywhere else. And I've had some great times in other places doing other things, but I've experienced God just like you have in other things and other places. But I've never experienced anything like we experience when we come together to love on God and make Him famous. Mark Twain, probably some of you don't know who Mark Twain is. Look him up. But that great author of many stories and sayings said this: it's not what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that ain't so. Now let that soak in a moment. It's not what you don't know that gets you into trouble. I don't know everything about God. I don't know about God. Well, you and I can't ever know everything about God. It's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that ain't so. Do you love God? Are you sure? Or is it not true? Would you pray?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.